Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night to all the fellow travelers of the world. How you doing?
How
you doing?
I love it.
Because you never know when people are listening. It could be, you know, they wake up with our voices, they go to sleep with our voices.
That's crazy.
I hope y'all are not waking up with Michael's voice, because that is crazy. Why would you do that?
Sometimes you gotta choose violence.
That is what you're doing.
I feel like that's a current, that's a like everlasting state. I think when they listen to, when people listen to this podcast, they really get different moods. It really, like different moods. Because sometimes you'll get the spicy side of us. Sometimes you get the very calm and zen. Sometimes you get the very educator side of us. But right now I want to invoke a little violence, because there's something been on my spirit for a couple of days now, and I need to speak on it. So, I mean, everyone knows with this podcast, we have stood on this platform and talked about, you know, everything from racial inequalities to band music and how that is like an intersectionality of them. And part of that is some line of work that I really hold deeply, which is, you know, the influence of Black composers, more modern Black composers, creating art that represents our culture, which for me, it is the hip hop and band music. And so, you know, I have been on panels and, you know, from Midwest to CBDNAs to the FMEAs to now TMEA. So all of that, I just gave you a little background. I was at an honor band. And I was, you know, talking, you know how you do when you're in these settings, you're talking, you're just having conversation. And there was this older woman. I will just say that she's older. She's probably almost retirement age, but we were just kind of, you know, chopping it up, saying about Midwest. And she was like, oh yeah, when I went to Midwest, my district didn't pay, da 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 da. And I was like, oh yeah, when I presented at Midwest and I presented at CBDNA and I'm about to present at Team Yay, you know, I'm going to tell you my resume since we talking resumes. And so she asked me, what am I presenting on? And I was like, you know, the combination of hip hop and wind band music. And she says, she fixes her mouth and she says, oh, I don't do that hip hop. Like that, I can't wrap my head around those rhythms. My students can't play those rhythms. Let me ask you something. Did that stop you from playing Rob W. Smith rhythms? Richard Salcedo's rhythms? Did that stop you from playing Percy Grainger rhythms? Why are these rhythms so different? And then, of course, I had to say, well, here's my thing. Your students probably can play those rhythms better than they can play 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Because they hear those rhythms when they go home. But when they come into your band room, the rhythms that you were teaching is the foreign concept. And she was like, oh, well, you know, I'm almost retired and da da da. And so it was kind of like diluting the thing of just saying, oh, I'm not doing this type of music because of rhythms, but that's not it. Say what you really meant to say.
This is really funny, because I actually was, we have many, many different opportunities where our musicians can like speak to certain demographics. For me and my programs, that's usually youth, and everything that we do, like some Q&As and everything. And very often, you know, students like, what music do you like to listen to outside of like when you're not working or when you're like driving home or whatever? Which is, I think, a really fun question. And a lot of our musicians are like, oh, I think you can appreciate like basically all styles, something you like and blah, blah, blah. Which is like, I mean, I feel like as a musician, that is like true to me specifically. Like I can bounce between a lot of genres in one sitting. And if I just find something that I really enjoy, I just enjoy it. It happens to be this genre. Now, you know what anytime it happens, it's just like such a shock to the system, but also something that I'm like, of fucking course you would say that. And you're gonna understand why whenever I say it, because always there will always be that one person who goes, oh, but I just don't like rap, or oh, I don't like hip hop though. And it's like, first of all, that wasn't the question. So it's just always crazy to me, because I'm like, first of all, you didn't even have to say that. You could just have answered the question of like, oh, I enjoy listening to opera, or I enjoy listening to pop, I enjoy listening to what, country even. But it always seems to be they want to make it known that they don't like hip hop.
Yes.
And then as soon as they, or rap, and then as soon as they say it, and maybe they don't get a response of like everyone being like, yes, because like that's not the truth to this younger generation. They love rap, they love hip hop. Then they have to follow it up with something like, oh, and I, but I also don't like heavy metal either. And it's like, that's your way of trying to save yourself by saying, oh, I just, anything that's so aggressive or any. And for me, I'm just like, you're so lame.
Love
You're
it.
so lame.
Not
Out of
yourself, game.
You're so lame because you just exactly what you were just saying, Anthony. This like it's almost like a willing ignorance of like not wanting to actually understand the history and the culture of what makes that music the music itself and why it is being like performed in that way. And instead they just see it as like a, oh, it's difficult, or oh, like if it's playing, or oh, it's like aggressive to listen to. And it's just you're so boring. I don't know. I lose respect immediately for people if they're just unwarranted, unprovoked. I don't like hip hop. I don't like rap. Go. Let me stop.
So, but
Anyway.
here's what enraged me to the next of what I witnessed. After she said that of the whole, I not me for the hip hop thing. She then fixed her mouth to say, oh, she had to put in there, I have a full, my entire demographic is Hispanic students. And I was like, huh. So now you brought race into this because he see what you did at first, you just said I didn't like hip hop. Now the thing was the underlying verbiage was I understood what you meant as the only black person in this entire, mind you, this is a full region thing. I am one of two black directors here. I understood what you meant. Now everybody else is like,
Wasn't hidden. It was
it
not
wasn't
hidden.
hitting. No, I heard what you said. I heard you loud and clear. And so when I looked at you and I gave you a response to the ignorance that you said, then you said, oh, well, all of my students probably can play this. They're all Hispanic students. And I'm like, so what? But then it made me, okay, well, do you have any music that represents them? Because the music that you just chose for this thing had the representation wasn't there. But this is what I have, and I'm sorry I'm gonna down this hill. Lauren, maybe you can back me up on this, but I'm just gonna go say it. If you hate me, you hate me. This is where white feminism and white liberalism becomes an issue because that is a different. I was literally listening to a trans she's like big influencer on TikTok, and she was saying how that experience of white transness and black transness are two completely different ways of life. And that just made me think, like, whenever we say liberal, there's a difference between white liberalism and everything else. Same thing with feminism, although I am not, Lauren can speak more to this, but from what I have seen and what we have openly discussed, there is a difference. The white will always come before the next intersectionality term. And because this director, she led with women band directors and this and that and this and that, and I was like, yes, absolutely. And like I was really going to invite her into my classroom, like, hey, come listen to the band, da, 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 da. But having this conversation with you, what happened to the liberalism of we need to be pushing in this way?
Right.
I thought we were all pushing together. There becomes an issue, in my opinion.
Yeah. There's a separation. I think that when I first read the anthology, This Bridge Called My Back, that's like a anthology specifically by BIPOC like feminist. It was a very clear like this our issues and what we're fighting for is very different than what like general white femininity of like we deserve this and like the whole thing is like yes, gender equality, absolutely. The issue that is being presented here is that very often in their own search for like gender equality, white women specifically, like don't a lot of them are not able to understand how their own whiteness contributes to what is hurting like BIPOC women, you know, or like women who or like non-binary and like queer women who are also experiencing harm by being women and everything. And so it's like they want to use their own oppression and disregard the other layers of oppression that are present within our system as well. And there are some people who know how to balance that well, and there are others who don't want to recognize that they also have level, because we all right have certain amounts of privilege based off of like race, gender, status, like wealth, you know, status, education level, mobile ability. Like there's always like different ways you can measure privilege, but often in this case, people want to play dumb. And so I don't really I don't have friends who go around saying that they are like feminist in anything because we understand that that is a very different like first of all I don't know if you feel the need to say it that means you feel like you're not doing it enough in my opinion you're not you don't feel like it is seen by the your actions so you have to like label yourself as that to other people which I understand that maybe early on in the feminism era was really important because it was starting off in this day and age, you don't really need to do that. Just be kind and be respectful in that way. But yeah, it's a very different, just I don't identify with like that the wave, the feminism wave that like a lot of it's weird the way that feminism is going right now because there's also this trend back towards the more traditional archetype of what femininity is and like being like having to be in the home and wanting to be like having to be mothers instead of like just it's a desire to want to be mothers. And here's the thing, you can want to be a stay-at-home mom, you can want to have kids, you can want to have be married, that's beautiful. I think what I also see on the other side is first of all, don't criticize people for what they want to do. If they want to be a stay-at-home mom with kids, let them do that. And then I also think that it is fine to not want that for yourself. I think both the what I'm seeing on either side is just criticism of, oh, you don't want to have kids. That's such a like, you know, not a fulfilling life. Or criticizing women who want to wake up at 4 a.m. with their kids and get ready and be pregnant, and that's like what they want to do. Just like that's the weird, cloudy ways that feminism is getting really weird. And then you bring in all the other elements of like eating disorders too have become a really big thing that have popped back up that I'm seeing too much of on the timelines and everything. And it's like, it's just really sad because you think about all these young women who are growing up right now and they have access to all of this. And they're seeing how, you know, celebrity women, especially young female celebrities, are being treated. Like they can't do anything. It feels like you can't do anything right, right? But then again, that I feel like that is a level of it. And then there's also this other layer of like there are black women, there are Latino women, there are like trans women who are experiencing their own like struggles and oppression. And sometimes there's people who don't want to talk about that side of it. And so if I feel like there are people who only want to talk about one area, not the other, that is where I'm like, we don't have anything to talk about because you're narrow-minded or you don't care enough to like expand your view outside of it. So
And I think that's where that comment really struck me, because I'm like, why did you just generalize this? Because here's the thing, Marie Douglas, shout out Marie, because you just said, oh, I don't do the hip hop. Here is a first of all, Marie is multi-talented. She was a
Right.
former band director, amazing composer, and combines hip hop with band music, two cultures of herself put together. Are you denying her? Because, oh, I just don't do hip hop. Because it's a generalized statement. And that's where I think it's just shocking to me, especially because, I live the way I do it, and I'm going to speak on all these things, but it's just like, why? I thought since 2019, 2020, we have, as a society, progressed, especially in the band world,
Oh,
allegedly.
I was gonna say
Allegedly.
I was like, it's allegedly.
Allegedly. Now, I'm sure those people did some type of little groove music in 2022 when everybody was coming back, when, we had to be all politically correct. But now the dust has settled, and now people have reverted back to how they've always felt. There wasn't that learning that people said they were doing. They're like, oh my gosh, I really had to sit down with myself. There was a band director a couple years ago who I knew, and he was like, after 2020, I really had to like think to myself, like, am I, did I say certain things to my students? Did I make them feel this way? And yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, yeah, you did.
You probably did.
You, yeah. I
No, probably.
forgot.
You did.
Right, you did. You did. And but now I'm like looking at him. That was again 2022. And now we're in 2025, about to be in 2026. And he's kind of doing the same things he was doing before his revelations. So it's like the learning was for a finite amount of time, and you said, oh, we got a new president, we got a new society, everything is going back to hell. Guess what? I don't have to do this anymore. And I will say you feel it a lot more now than before.
I would say Anthony brought to my attention, he was, making fun of me and bullying me like he always does.
You're
One
welcome.
night. You said, "You're welcome." See, here, bullying is not okay, everybody. Just in case you think it is, because of Anthony, it's not okay. Anyways, he brought to my attention someone that does a really good job of empowering and calling out people, but does a very bad job of doing it with a very singular-minded purpose. And my thing is, if you are going to call out people, you got to call out everybody for all the things. You cannot just call out people for a singular-minded person, because not only are you going to pigeonhole yourself, and I think it's eventually going to fall on deaf ears, which it shouldn't, but it probably will. You're also now saying to everybody else that maybe supports you, oh, well, bump my drag. I guess I don't get supported. So if you are standing up for people in your community and all this other stuff, and then you just like are only standing up for part of the community that you're in.
I know what I'll give a little bit more context without saying names. There was an article that was made about Samuel Coleridge Taylor's music and the rediscovery of that of his music, and it read more like, here are some of the people that, started the curve of performing his music. I think it had like conductors, it had some instrumentalists who performed their music, more critically acclaimed musicians, and I think some musicologists who's also done some uncovering. And there was a person who the first sentence was, and it was a New York Times article, I believe. The first sentence was, it didn't say great job. It was more of like, okay, finally you have highlighted a person of color composer, da 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 da. The rest of the sentences were all saying, well, there wasn't any women mentioned in Samuel Coleridge Taylor's little expose, except for his mother, who was, who brought him into this world, who's only seen as a womb and a bearer of children rather than somebody that has impacted his life. And so the commentary of that to me felt a little tone deaf, just as of like, wow, Samuel Coleridge Taylor, that is the focus here. Samuel Coleridge Taylor, okay? A person's music that has been lost for a century, a black man who is already disenfranchised, especially in classical music. And not saying that black women, they are even more proportionally disenfranchised. But the thing is, this person who commented on this post, I don't think I've ever seen them say anything about Florence Price or highlighting Florence Price at all, or Margaret Bonds. I have actually never seen that person highlight a black woman of color, or a black woman that is a composer or a musician or blah, blah, blah. I have never. And now y'all can go dig in. I'm not going to tell you the name, but you can guess. But I don't think I've ever seen this person ever highlight a black woman that is a classical musician. But everything that comes out, this person will highlight. There are no women in this. There are no women in this.
I know. Oh, I know. Okay. I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you.
I am on the side of this person because I'm like, call it out, call it out, call it out. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you also have to call out your own biases as well.
White women, there's a blind
Tunnel
spot.
vision. Yes.
Because
And
sometimes it's not about you. Like, I know that's crazy to say. Sometime, girl, it's not about you. Like, I understand, because like
not my concern for the camera because
her
you're a
whole
white man.
brand, her whole
That was
brand is
just funny,
like
just not about
calling it
you.
out. She wants to call it out. She wants to she her it's feminism. It's he big, heavy, I don't care about being called a nasty woman feminism, right? And it's almost to the point where it's, or not almost, we're getting to the point where she is blindly stepping on in areas that are of no concern to her. Read the article, enjoy the article, and then like stop making it about yourself and what you're doing, because she has such a huge platform. People are constantly looking at what she's posting. And instead of like, I mean, I haven't seen the post yet, but I can only imagine that maybe she would have said something of like, oh, this is nice, but like, what about the women as well? And it's like, how about you let people of that culture speak for that? You know, not saying that anyone who's not of that culture like can't have opinions on it, but specifically with like what her audience specifically is and like what she goes for, it just feels out of place. For it.
I can
And
see that. That is where, when I read it, I was like, again, like I said, I'm with her. I usually stand because I'm like, call it out, call it out, call it out, call it out. But in this one, because it add that extra level of black, and to my knowledge, you never really said anything about black people's business ever. Like, I don't know if you stood with us or not in the time that was needed, and now you're in black people's business. And newsflash, please get out of black folks' business.
Like
You are not.
you're not over here.
Like,
Don't bring
because
that over here.
we deal with our own, okay? We really do. Obviously, we are putting people on pedestals like Samuel Coleridge Taylor, like William Dawson, like Florence Price, like Margaret Bonds. The thing is, do she know who Margaret Bonds even is? Do she know who Tanya Leon is? Do she know these women?
Also, a quick Google search has me finding multiple New York Times articles on Florence Price recently. Like, I see one from 2023, I see one from like a few from 2018. I see some from 2022 with her and Clara Schumann. And I'm like, to be fair, I have seen Florence Price's name probably more than any other like black artist, like past black artist than anyone else. Even like, I mean, William Grant Still, I feel like I knew him because of my studies, and I played more of his music than I have of Florence Price's in like orchestra and stuff. But like in terms of popular, like having articles and stuff, I've been mainly seeing Florence Price's name over anybody.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just a weird, it's an again, it shows how like low-key tone deaf that response of hers was. If she like, because again, and I haven't read it, but if it's just saying something, if she is just kind of like doing what she normally does, going like, well, good, but do better, or like, yeah, but we need to bring women into it, it's like that's not what this specifically was.
Right.
And like, not every, it's just the truth is, even if what you're saying is true, even if like they should take more time to speak about black, like, you know, women composers or women composers in general, which is her bag, then that's fine, that's good. But this was highlighting and celebrating a black artist who is getting his starting to get even more like time in the limelight, which is great. And instead she uses it to like highlight her own like what she finds to be valuable and everything. I don't know. It just, it really does feel like one of those things that's like, I see what you meant to do, but this isn't your area and not everything is about you. And not everything is like a war path for you to like rage against.
I will say, NYO, like the little youth orchestra thing, the little thing, they do have Florence Price on their trumpet excerpt list. It was very nice to see that. And you know,
Normally, especially in New York, it's New York, right? NYO. Normally, this person would highlight anything within that New York, New England area because that is their area. But I don't think I've seen any publicity about that. Now, I do know that in the art, in her commentary, it was more of
Oh,
the.
and Viola has a Jesse Montgomery thing. I'm so sorry. Which is crazy. I like this. Continue.
I think she was trying to call out that because in the article they talk about, you know, the musicologists, the performers, the conductors who have been championing the music. And so she was calling out that there were no women in that list. And I'm like, now granted, there I'm sure there are, but there is such a bigger thing. What you could have done is said, look at how black is here. You know, we are all in a struggle together to find freedom, to find equality, equity amongst everything in the classical genre. That's what we're all fighting for. Or that's what, whenever something happens in strife, we always then everybody's like, oh, we're in this together. We're in this together. But it's always in the quiet times where, when you look around to see if somebody's standing to your left or to your right, those people are not there. And that's how I feel sometimes when it is related to this person, because I'm like, this could have been a moment where you celebrated an artist who is getting replayed and renowned now, but you took it on a different level. And not to discount that, yes, there were women that is also championing Sammy Corbett Taylor's music as well. Correct. But maybe you should take that up with the writer. Take that up with whomever did the research. But just doing that, it kind of felt tone deaf. And as we were talking, I feel like some of the times she is a little egocentric. Like everything revolves around her and her view, which literally that's our podcast, Relative Pitch. It's all around how relative it is to us. However, we try to see everything else.
I will say this. I was doing some more research while Anthony was giving a beautiful soliloquy. The NYO USA audition excerpts, 9 out of the 14 instruments, has something I've probably haven't seen before on a regular list. Like they've either featured Jesse Montgomery, they featured Price. One person featured Jennifer Higdon. That's different. One person has Tim Adams.
Oh,
Like,
Tim. I
yeah.
like percussion.
Carlos Simon. Yeah.
Love
Carlos Simon's on here.
that.
Like, I'm like, this is cool. Like, this is different than our usual, like for the trumpet one, it has like the usual suspects, but then it has like a Price symphony. I'm like, oh, that's nice. And that Price symphony has been bleeding into some auditions, Symphony Number One, because more people like some, I think Boston recorded it or something, or Philadelphia, but it's crazy. I was like, that's cool. 9 out of 14. That's a, a slow victory of a win. So.
Yeah, I just read the article myself, or not article, I just read what her response to it was. And basically, yeah, she's calling out the fact that in the article, of the living people, or I don't know if it's all living, but people who are mentioned as being like Anthony was saying, people who have done arrangements, have been performers of the music, musicologists who have studied his music, other composers, whatever. Like, there was no women really mentioned besides his mother in the full article. And her point was saying that there are living female, composers, arrangers, performers who have, and musicologists and researchers who have also taken upon themselves to research him and maybe even consider themselves like champions of his work and everything, and that they should have been included in the article. Okay. Let's say we agree to that if they would have done more due diligence and found made sure that of the people who they listed as sources of who was representing his music and sharing his music, there are people, women, directors who have programmed his music, performed his music, everything, absolutely. That is what she's calling out. I still don't feel satisfied with the idea that the article itself, because she had a very short thing at the top said, glad to know that the New York Times is finally like making like articles that are like good about musicians or whatever. It kind of feels like a throwaway. Like, it feels as if she is using this publicity of Samuel Coleridge Taylor's music as a way to continue doing her, what she calls her advocacy work. For the feminist cause within classical music. And I can understand as somebody who like that is what you're doing, I can understand if she's like that is what she cares about. It still unfortunately does feel like it lacks empathy and like care and thought behind how she went about it. And I think that is what's still not settling in right for me, because it would have been different if she would have like had a larger like, this is really wonderful, this is what I have done in terms of his music, or like something that felt like it was celebratory of the article in some way that was about this black composer. But instead she immediately went directly into, well, this is how it makes sense to me, and this is how it like I can use it to my own like. Even if she doesn't find that this is what she's benefit, like she's like doing this because she sees this as her purpose and blah blah blah, it still feels very similar to like it feels tone deaf, and like it, and it feels like it's lacking in any true connection to the article itself. So that is where I'm feeling like I'm like, this is something I feel like she could have kept to herself.
Yes. And I
Yeah.
really think it is because I now somebody can go back. Michael, you're good at this. I'm gonna give you this task, okay? So I'm saying this on record. Michael is in charge of checking me because the statement I'm about to say, he can check me on this. But I would like to know when the last time she spoke in a congratulatory way on a black artist. Because the reason this kind of shook me is because I don't think I've ever seen, even during 2020, I don't even think. Actually, funny enough, this person is slick, she didn't shade me, but she did. Do y'all remember this? Do y'all remember this? Oh my God,
No.
I don't think y'all remember this, but now I'm about to put it together. So I went to a conducting symposium,
Right.
1 year, and they use my picture as a promo for the next year, and she commented
Yes.
under it,
Oh.
use one black man, da 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 da. Do y'all remember this?
I do remember. Oh my God.
Yes. So it's like, that's the only time I've ever actually seen her speak on a black person. And that black person happens to be me.
That is kind of fucking crazy if you think about
Yeah.
it. Like, that is actually, you blew my mind because you immediately. So, this is what I mean. This is exactly the kind of thing that I mean. Anyone who knows Anthony and knows who Anthony is and the amazing work that he has done in championing music by past and especially living black composers would know that anytime an image of him popped up or anytime his name is spoken, it's like, oh my gosh, we should only be celebrating. Flowers, thankful that there are people like Anthony who's out there doing this kind of work and actually standing by what he's saying. And for her to then see that, and she this is her thing. She does it, and like for the sake of like if she's doing it for the Boston Symphony in New York, whatever, who you know, all that kind of stuff, she's going after those like those groups. And her whole thing is she wants to expose how you know misogynistic and male dominated our field is. We know that.
Which
We
it
know
is,
that.
which it is.
Right? We know that. And like I think that what Anthony just like highlighted, and we're also highlighting with how she used this article of Samuel Coleridge Taylor to continue her like her advocacy work, is by doing so, she is also glossing over the fact that of black contribution. These are two different scenarios now where they were black men who were highlighted in some way that in order for her to try to make her point completely bulldozed over the significance of a black person seeing that black man, seeing Anthony, seeing Samuel Coleridge Taylor, and going, oh my gosh, I want to engage more in this work because this is somebody who looks like me. This is someone who is from a shared identity as myself. Because yes, I'm a black woman myself, but like I still see an article about Samuel Coleridge Taylor, I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing that more work like that is from our culture is being exposed. I know because I am a black woman that it's like, of course, I would also love to see more of Margaret Bonds, and like all these other amazing black female composers that we know exist. But in this moment, I am happy to see representation at all. And for her as a white woman to completely just go over that and be like, oh, I'm gonna immediately make this something that people should judge and like critique and blah blah blah. It's just so tone deaf. I can't get over how like, and it's so annoying whenever I go scroll down in comments and the main people I see agreeing with her are other white women. I'm just like,
Yeah, I'll have to do this research
let
later
me see.
because I gotta pay for something first. Because for me to go look, I gotta pay for it.
What you gotta pay for it?
Are you talking about the New York Times thing or are you talking about her Substack?
That one.
Oh, okay. Well, just we will come back. We'll come back to that because I just want to know, and just talking about this topic really unlocked that thing that I mean,
You
this
just
has had
blew my mind.
this is 2021. So literally in the height of like social justice, coming out of COVID, like this was then. And it just really, I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Yeah. And but I also want people to know that I usually am standing with her, 10 toes. I love when she calls out these institutions. But the thing, as a person of color, as a black person, I also have to see that you only call certain things out because it is in your specific way. Like, here's the thing. When I see women not in certain places where they are or where they are supposed to be, I am going to say something. That's just always been me. I am going to say something because I know that there's other people, or there's not any Hispanic people here. Oh, they need to be here too. There isn't any Asian specific people. They need to be here too. There's not a gay voice here. They're not a straight voices. There need to be all these voices because that's the only time when things are actually going to change is when you hear all the views put together at one time. And yes, I understand we can get in our, very blinders on in our own justice, in our own social justice way. Like, I could just always be like, black, 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 black. I don't want to. I want us all to find our way in this career that we love, and not just career, but some of our life choosing. We have chosen this life as ours, so we need to make sure that we can all live in it together and feel validated in this field. But here's my thing. We all, as the oppressed group, women, people of color, gays, lesbians, trans, all of us in that group, we need to fight together, because if we do not align ourselves together, it is just a little group fighting the big man. We have
But
to come together.
with that, not a but, sorry, but was bad. With that, you cannot create an echo chamber around yourself because they're
Yes.
forward thinking. Like, that's the thing. Like, people be like, well, Michael, relative pitch is an echo chamber. No, the hell we ain't. We will disagree. And like, I always call devil's advocate because I'll find a way
Yes.
to be on the, like, for real, be on the opposite side. But I love playing devil's advocate. And we all like devil's advocate for each other at all times.
We do. We
And
do.
sometimes I'd be like, well, since you're so smart and got everything, I just wanted some support. No, they're like, no,
I can tell you
excuse
firsthand that he'll say something to us, and we're just like, no.
me.
But he
But
does that to us as well. And
it's
we have, it's checks and balances, which we don't
right.
have in our current U.S.
Government, but
government.
it's okay. I will say this though. So, like, when you're creating your life, like students right now, students, when you're creating your life and your friend group and you're in college and you're about to go out and do all these big bad things, don't create an echo chamber or you will plateau.
If you're not constantly like challenging yourself and your mindset and your thoughts by being around other people, and no, I'm not telling you to. Especially if you don't put yourself in a situation of harm, do not go around people who will harm you mentally or physically. Don't do that. But you can engage in like or read of what like different opinions are than yours, and that's always great to know what is happening on the other side, so that you stay informed. I think the issue, what Michael, it sounds like you're saying, which I very much agree, and this person has such a huge platform now, and so many people who will come to her side, and again, the focus for her is femininity. And like, I'm gonna be honest and say, it is white feminism specifically, because I do not feel anything that I have seen recently that it feels as if she is going any deeper specifically than anything that is just like what is seen as femininity. But that for me, whenever I just see feminism, it is white feminism. I need to see you actually taking actions and deliberate steps into caring about other like races of outside of your own, the queer community, like people who are like different abilities, for me to consider you that you are actually c caring about what is happening in other communities rather than just the feminism cause, which again, in my lens, is just white feminism. Because the two situations we just talked about today were where she took things that were supposed to be celebrations of black culture and like black representation and made it about what she wanted to hear and what she wanted to talk about. And that is not okay. And that never will be okay. Even if she is fighting for something that we all have had many things that she has shared that were like, yes, we need to see more of that. She has done so much when it comes to shouting out what's been going on, especially about sexual assault and like elite colleges and like with symphony orchestras. Like that needs to continue to happen. I hope she continues to call out these institutions that only hire like especially male brass faculty, but also all the other like just male dominated areas that are in the symphony world and the classical music world. And I hope that this like I don't she's so major, so who knows if she ever would even listen to this, but I hope that she is also hearing opinions like this that are making sure that she is still hearing the critiques that about what she is doing herself, because it's starting to get a little bit like she just gets to like block out everything else that's going on instead of also being like, okay, even if this is your thing you're doing right now, you still have you have a responsibility, especially with her platform, to make sure that you are also helping other groups and not just like the one thing that you're so laser focused on. And so that's all I have to say about it. I just hope that she wants to continue to learn and to grow, and not just stay focused on that, because otherwise you're gonna keep bulldozing over like other people's achievements, and like that's just not fun. Especially if you are the person, Anthony, who like this was supposed to be a great celebration, and like you get to see yourself represented on this, and this is a big first, and then to have it kind of like cut down in that, oh, but it needs to be better. And it's like, you don't even know who I am. You don't even know what this means to me and to other people who are going to see this advertisement and like go, oh my gosh, that could be me. And that's the issue, is she was it seems so much like she's just so laser focused on what could be hers or what should be feminine, what is feminism, what should be feminism, that she's completely looking over and disregarding everything else. There's a way to go about it. I think that some most of the time she's on it, these are the few of the times that she has missed the mark completely.
Yeah, and I really hope that she doesn't say the thing that I heard in my first story of I'm close to retirement. I can say whatever I want to say, because I personally I don't believe I will become that person where I have stopped learning and stopped wanting to know what's something new, because to me that starts to lead into ignorance. And you become very stale. So I really hope, as you said, Lauren, listen to different opinions, because that is what's gonna make you grow in the future. So let us know what you think down below. And if you figure out whom we're talking about, let us know too. So we hope that we gave you something to think about, and please inspire other people to continue their growth and learning and never become stale and never stop learning. So we hope you enjoyed. See you next time. Bye.